Welcome to the downstairs gathering, upstairs gathering folk who've joined us, just kind of slipped in. If it seems a little bit more full, even after the kids have gone out, that's the reason. And the reason that we're joining together is because this is a special Nepal Sunday, where 1 year ago, almost to the day, April 25th, was the first earthquake that hit Nepal and turned things upside down there. And so we are going to look at what's happened since then, bit of an update, tell a few stories, and we're also going to screen, I think is the correct term for it, we're going to screen a documentary that is a special, that was produced by, it was a special partnership between World Vision Canada and Vineyard Churches Canada and Vineyard Churches Himalayan Region. And so I want to especially welcome Chris Schroeder there. Just wave. Everyone look at Chris. There's Chris. And Margaret is there too, a volunteer from World Vision Canada. Just wave, Margaret. There you are. So they're, yeah, welcome. Welcome. Let's. So they're here. It'll make a little bit more sense as the morning goes on. I was going to say wears on, but it will not wear on. It's going to go like this. It'll make more sense after we see the documentary that kind of highlights the partnership between World Vision Canada and the Himalayan Churches. And so they've got a child sponsorship thing there and some CDs for sale at the back, which we'll explain as it goes on. So just to give you a heads up, I'm gonna chat with you just for a few minutes here, give some context to our connection with the Himalayan Region Vineyards. There's about over 15 churches there and over 5,000 people that are connected directly with the churches that are spread all across the Himalayan region, which includes Nepal and a little tiny sliver in northeast India called Sikkim and into Darjeeling and West Bengal state there. But it's all culturally Himalayan. And so they speak Nepali, or culturally Nepali rather, and they speak Nepali and they're Nepali people. They just happen to have Indian passports, some of them. So I'm going to share a little bit like that. We've got a little video from David Roos there. That's a great spot to pause a video, hey? And Noel there. David is our National Vineyard Canada director, and Noel is the director of the Himalayan Region Vineyards, who you'll know and recognize. And then we're going to screen this documentary. Then Nathan's going to share a little bit, because Nate was right on the ground there when the earthquake happened, was reaching for the microphone on the Saturday morning. They meet on Saturday mornings for church as the ground started to shake and things were turned upside down. So that was a big deal. And then we're going to pray for them and celebrate communion together. So that's just giving you a little bit of a outline of what the service is going to be like. And you're going to want to be able to see the screen easily. So if there's a pole, if there's a pesky pole, and you didn't happen to bring a chainsaw with you, then you're going to have to move. If you brought a chainsaw, no. Don't do it anyway. That's right. Yeah, keep it in your pocket. By the way, we're working on some plans to get some better screen kind of availability. So we're going to have some TVs that can reach around the corner and another screen up here. Anyways, it's going to be a little bit better in a few months. But for now, you're going to want to check out the screen because there's lots of stuff to watch this morning. Like we often say, half of us is here and half of us is there. And that's a very real thing. And when the earthquake hit on that Saturday morning, immediately all kinds of activity sprung into action across the Vineyard family globally. And a tremendous effort was kind of welled up, really, is what it is. It was a welling. We didn't necessarily say we need to kind of fundraise this kind of money and we need to help them because look at these poor people. It wasn't like that at all. It was we help them not because they need us, but we share because they are us. That was the ethos. That was the milieu from which all of the stuff that's happened in the past year, and I'll give you some numbers, some hardcore numbers, and you're going to be pretty amazed, I think. But it wasn't so much because these poor people need us that we help them. We have a little bit of extra money we're going to send. And different churches and individuals from all across, and I'm serious, all across the world gave towards this effort. It wasn't because they need us. We share because they are us. They are our brothers and sisters. And it doesn't matter if you've never met them or never set foot in Asia, let alone Nepal. They are your brothers and sisters. They pray for us. We pray for them. We are the same family. And so when families are in trouble, we share, not because they need us, but because they are us. Mother Teresa said, who lived just south of Sikkim, in the same state as some of our vineyard, one vineyard church actually, in West Bengal, she said, if there's no peace in the world, it's because we've forgotten that we belong to each other. And it's really true. We stand on the bedrock of relationship with these brothers and sisters. We really belong to each other. As I was thinking about this, I was reminded of Paul's efforts. Paul, the Apostle Paul, his efforts, for about 10 years, he did famine relief. Did you know that? He wandered all over Asia, inspired by and following the guiding of the Holy Spirit. But for about 10 years, he did some serious famine relief. Why? Well, there was a famine from about the mid-40s, so I'm not talking about like the 1930 dirty 30s. I'm talking about like the original 40s. They were a bad time for the people in Palestine and Jerusalem in particular, the mother church. And there was this famine that was there. And so Paul traveled for about 10 years. And in the midst of his preaching the gospel, he also raised money. He raised money. And it said, it's recorded in Acts chapter 11, that everyone gave as much as they could towards the brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. In 2 Corinthians 8, it says, and it's talking about a particular church in Macedonia who were quite poor. They said, they're being tested by many troubles, and they're very poor, but they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. We've seen that. We've seen that in reality in this earthquake recovery. The rich giving, poor giving, the widow's mite is an amazing and powerful thing. It's awesome to see. Paul goes on to say, whatever you give is acceptable, he's talking to the Corinthians, if you give it eagerly, and give according to what you have, not what you don't have. Of course, I don't mean give it. Your giving should make life easy for others and hard for yourselves. I only mean that there should be some equality. That there should be some equality. Right now, you've got plenty, and you can help those who are in need. Later, they will have plenty, and you can share with them, and they will share with you when you need it. In this way, things will be equal. They shared because they were one across vast ethnic and cultural divides. Just as vast as you might think, like you've never set foot in Asia. It's a long way. It's hard to imagine. It would have been hard to imagine these Corinthians to kind of connect with the people in Jerusalem. Vast divide, vast difference. But they shared because they were one, and we've shared because we're one. Some had more, some had less. The Jerusalem church was like the mother church, kind of like what we are actually for Nepal. In 1999, Noel, right there on the right, and his wife Donna, also in their own language, their names Shirab and Laswanti. Shirab Bhutia and Laswanti Bhutia. That's their ethnic names. They moved here for 3 months with their kids, or their one child at the time, Asher. Is Asher here? No, he's not here. He's studying probably. Right. He's working, okay. And they moved here, and they didn't know what was happening, but something about the DNA of this place, of how we do life together, or we're attempting to do life together, not that it's all that we've got it all together at all, but that every single person from every single strata in society, rich, poor, all the different other divides, that they don't matter. They're there, but somehow the kingdom of God supersedes those things and makes us one. And something about that so caught them. They were and that DNA was placed in them, all in the context of passionately worshiping Jesus and following him and what that looks like. Making this community, they said, we've got to go and do this back in Nepal. And so they took the heart from here in 1999. And I remember this the evening, actually. It was an evening at 960 Main Street. Probably a few of you were there. And Noel, he was supposed to share sort of the big vision for church planting across the... And he just didn't have anything. And on the drive to 960 Main in the evening when he was supposed to share, he just got this download of what you see here, you do there. You follow. And I'll show up. And he walks in and shares... And it was amazing, and that was the start of the Himalayan Region Vineyard Churches. That has now, of course, expanded all across the Himalayan Region Vineyards. And that was more than 10 years ago. That was in 1999. And so for close to 10 years, Paul collected for the believers in Jerusalem, for the Mother Church. I know it's a bit backwards from our situation. But there was food shortages, double taxation, overpopulation, precarious Palestinian economy, military occupation, there was corruption. You can imagine it was a recipe for disaster for the folks in Jerusalem. Transpose that onto Nepal. Old, crumbling, or non-existent infrastructure. Who's been to Nepal? Put up your hand. How are the roads? What's that? They're like Winnipeg. We can relate to some degree, can't we? We don't have to swerve around the cows, though, right? Our potholes won't swallow you whole. Well, I suppose I haven't driven on St. James Street recently. Just kidding. Widespread corruption across Nepal. Zero social security net, political uprisings, intentions, blockades, revolts, oppression, and living on a major fault zone. It's a recipe for disaster, isn't it? Just like it was a recipe for disaster for the Jerusalem believers. But these recipes for disaster are also incubators for moves of God. And we're going to see what a little bit of that is. Go ahead, Morrison, let's show this video.
Oh, right on the year anniversary of the big earthquake in Kathmandu and give you some updates and that sort of a thing. But just really want to bring greetings. Noel, you want to just give a hello?
Hey, Jamesy from all the Vineyard churches from the Himalayan region. Jamesy,
Jesus has victory. So there's just been really good things that have been happening, but the ongoing work is absolutely critical. So we wanted to make you aware of that. In fact, we were just in Gangtok, Sikkim, just across the hills here last week for some meetings. And wouldn't you believe it, there was a tremor, just another, not huge, but you could feel the earth shaking and stuff again. We're like, wow, this really is a long-term adventure. So just really wanted to say thank you. What are the main challenges that you're facing right now, Noel, like a year into it?
The challenge is like a year ago when earthquake came, we went through a time of hopelessness. Mm. There was hopelessness among our community. And of course, outside the community, there was more hopelessness, you know. But now our year is gone and we see, you know, our churches are very, very strong. There's hope, people understand, you know. But also the challenge is like when we went and helped a lot of people, you know, our neighbors, we really want to see those people who receive help and, you know, a love of Jesus can actually, you know, accept or find Jesus in real life, you know, and be part of the community. So that's our challenge. So we are trying to connect with them, communicate with them, you know, build relationship with those people that receive love from the church. But yes, also we just don't want to say goodbye, but we just want them to come and be part of the you know, kingdom.
Excellent. I know you kind of had this phase of neighbor to neighbor.
Yeah.
Raju, who's leading the Kathmandu Vineyard, was saying, let's just bless everyone in the villages and around us, just, you know, no strings attached, which is such a huge vineyard value. But now you're really calling people into a phase of discipleship and growth as well. Do you want to explain that a little bit?
Yeah, because we have seen in Nepal that you know, help itself is not going to change the lives of people, you know. Help itself is not going to bring people to the kingdom. So with the help, we have to somehow find a way to disciple them, you know, be a friend to them, and show kingdom to them, you know, so that actually we care for their soul, you know, like the compassion should go to their soul, you know, the compassion should lead to reaching their soul, you know, and produce the eternal, you know, people who follow Christ. That's the focus.
Excellent. And we're really seeing it defined well here. Our compassion and our efforts in justice and stuff have the most sustainability and the most impact when it's part of the journey of a community of faith, not just sort of a separate program or that sort of a thing. So something that's been really exciting. What would be one of your favorite stories, if you could just say a quick story? What would be one that really was your favorite?
The favorite story is like, you know, when we go to, you know, a broken places or, you know, in the lives of broken people, whenever we stand, people look to us and they always feel something different. It's not just all this help's coming from everywhere, but whenever we go there, they sense something and they say that they feel something by our presence, and that's how God leads us to pray. You know, opportunities. I know. So that's something that I encounter all the time.
Ah, fantastic. And we're just seeing evidence and fruit of it here. So just wanted to give you a quick shout out, and we'll just say a Jamesy, pardon Jamesy. So take care, and we'll be back in Canada soon and checking in with all of you.
Jamesy, you go like this. Jamesy, which means Jesus is victor. That's really what it means. So the Christians only say that to each other. If you walk up downtown Kathmandu, they'll kind of look at you funny. They would say namaste, right? Namaste. But you say jaimasi, so that's what they were saying there. Okay, just real quick, so I don't want to bore you, and I don't want things to wear on. Let me just give you a quick snapshot of what's happened since April 25th, 2015. All kinds of things have happened. We have constructed, and by we, I mean the Vineyard. I'm sorry if I'm in the way. You just can look around me, maybe? Or I'll stand this way because I'm so thin. Just kidding. I'll try to move lots. When I say we, I mean us, like our vineyard, Himalayan region vineyard earthquake response team. There's a disaster response team that coordinates everything on the ground there. We're in dialogue with them on a regular basis, and so it really is us. Built 42 permanent homes that look much like this one or like this one. Sorry for the yellow tinge. I need a new adapter. And so they're just basic homes, but they're earthquake proof. They will not rubble. They will not shake. And by full subsidy, I mean that they have been completely paid for and constructed by teams, local teams on the ground that have been hired there, local Nepali workers. That's what the inside of one of them looks like. And they always have lots of house fellowships, and you can see they're singing and having a house group there. This is one that's under construction. You can see there. This particular family had on that Saturday morning a 7-year-old relative visiting from another place, and she was collapsed. She died right in that location there. So there's trauma, and there's pain, and there's death and destruction all around, and it's really close. So seeing these new houses kind of rise out of the ashes of the old is a picture of God's kingdom coming. So there's been 42 like that have been done. 141 homes have been subsidized. You can see here, this is all Nepali rupees right here. This is a collection that Pastor Udab from Champi, they collect. And so what they do is, instead of just provide, I mean, for people that can't afford, like single moms or just people who are totally destitute, they just get a house. But if you can at all contribute to it, they'll subsidize. So we have subsidized 141 families, 141 homes. 111 of them have been 25 to 50% subsidy, and 30 have been at 5 to 25% subsidy. So if they could kind of use all the reclaimed bricks, and they just need like tin for the roof or tin for the side doors or something like that, that's what we would do. We would just kind of provide that for them. So that equals a total of 182 new homes that have been completed. This is an example. This is Peter Ting's mother's home. He was one of the original pastors in Champi. That's before the earthquake. Totally gone, like just completely gone. And that's the new one right there. So you can see Peter's wheelchair right there. You see that? Talk about wheelchair. I'm sorry. Yeah, Peter. David. I'm sorry. It's David. It's not Peter. It's David. Yeah, sorry. David Ting. So David's amazing. He can get around. That's the wheelchair ramp there. So we've done, there's been all kinds of church buildings. This is the inside of the church building in Gatlang, which is up 8,000 feet above sea level, right up against the border of Tibet. And there's been six new buildings that have been built, six new church buildings. So this is one in Nessing. They put a porch on, Sherry, since we were there. It's the back of it, so there's still construction going on. That's the inside of the church in Champi. So you can see how it is. It's packed, and everybody sits on the floor. So there's been six new buildings constructed, and two the same as the houses have been subsidized. So this is up in Tipling, and you can see there they had rebuilt all the wall there, just as they had done before. This is not a Vineyard church. It's a friend of the Vineyards, though. And they needed some help with the tin, and so we put a tin roof on that one. So two have been subsidized, providing parts of the build that the congregation couldn't afford. So there you can see inside of that church in Tipling after the roof's been put on. He's the pastor there, that gentleman on the left. So you can see it's a lot of work. All those beams and posts and stuff, you don't just go down to the Rona or the Home Depot. You go to the forest and you chop a tree down and then you saw it with this big thing. That's how you make it. It's a lot of work. A lot of work. And up in the high mountain villages, gas is very hard to come by. So it's really difficult. One of the biggest challenges was in the urban poor, in the Kathmandu urban poor. This is Fumaya Didi, her name is. Dear old lady, she lives in a place that you could get a sense of how small it is. There's about as much room for a bed and a few other things, but that's about it. But we went in there, and there's cracks all over. Like, this is about a five-story building, a couple hundred years old, no one really knows, mud floors, like wood, and then they cover it with mud, and just cracks all over the place. But they can't leave because there's nowhere to go because their livelihoods are tied right in that location. So if they went out somewhere outside of the city where they could find a place to rent, it would cost too much for them to get back to make their livelihood. So they just stay in unsafe places. Like, see, that's just, Fomaya's house is just down that alley and to the left. And you can see the attempts at keeping the buildings up. But if another earthquake, another major earthquake happens, it's a lot of people that would be affected poorly. So because of that, the response has been to start or subsidize 25 businesses. So to help people like Fulmaya, and this is her stand here, she's standing there with three other, these are all Vineyard ladies right here, and those are their businesses. Every day they go, they buy, at night they go to the market, buy the food, and then they go and they take it and they sell it on the roadside. And so we've been able to start or help upgrade, like so from an upgrade would be like vegetables on the floor to getting a cart or something like that. So we're not talking huge businesses here. We're talking businesses that you get the income from the day and that daily wage you go and you buy your food for your family that night. And then the same repeat tomorrow and the next day. So that's pretty cool. 25 of those. Bika, this is the village of Gatlang where that church I showed you that was demolished. That's the village there from the air. And these were a landless people who they didn't have IDs. And the government had tried to force them off the land where they were living for years and years and years. And the earthquake kind of just came and did the government's dirty work for them. So they were homeless and landless and no IDs. And so we've purchased a plot of land where these Bika, they're the lowest class in that village. And ironsmiths is what their job is. And so they're now landowners. Kids helping kids. Vineyards, I think about... eight or nine vineyards from across Canada The kids contributed to this. One of the Bika plots of the land there is going to be a children's, like a kind of a play center, like a youth center for kids and youth to go and to do homework and to be there and to be safe. And they're also building a playground. So that's awesome. That's our kids helping the kids there. It's so good. And it's so important for kids to be kids. And you can imagine, hey, like living through a major event like that. It's traumatic. Over 200 sleeping bags have been distributed. You can see everybody there has got sleeping bags. This is just recently. It's cold there, hey? You can see high mountains, snows. Hundreds and hundreds of blankets, tarps, tents, etc. 7,000, over 7,000 bags of rice like that, a 50 kg bag of rice like that. You can see all the blankets there. 5 kilometers of road has been built. And over, Noel was estimating, over 20,000 people have been touched through our efforts there. It's amazing. 35% of the total fund, so 35% of what has been spent so far, not the whole thing has been spent, has gone to non-vineyard people. In other words, just helping neighbors, like being good neighbors to people. So it's not just the church people that get new homes, or they go and they try to find the neediest, the poorest people in their village, in their networks, and help them in very real practical ways and demonstrate the love of Jesus, no strings attached. It's awesome. And so that's a whole big number. This is also the courtyard in Kathmandu. You can see the low structure on the left. There's the roof. That's the sanctuary, which I'm going to show you inside. And then on the right, you can see there's it's like a building for a two-story, used to be three-story, where people stay. That, and so on the left there is the two-story building. It's a big L shape. It's completely, it's uninhabitable now. It's too dangerous. And so this campus rebuild project, the heartbeat of the Himalayan region vineyard is right there. And so both the main buildings there, the living quarters and the sanctuary, I think I've got a picture, yeah, here, inside the sanctuary, need to be demolished. Actually, you want to listen? Here. It's a beautiful worship time. So we need to demolish those two buildings and rebuild them. And so we're going to use 10% of the fund to do the demolition, and we're going to have to raise some other money to build the other buildings that are going to replace them. So Jaima C, thank you for all of your contributions and for being family. And that's what Noel says every time I talk to him. Thank them. Thank them. It's the real deal. Like, for real, we help not because they need help, but we share because they are us. Okay. We're gonna watch this little video now, 20 minutes. And this is the other side CD that is a collaboration with World Vision and Vineyard Music. So these CDs are for sale. And 100% of the proceeds go to our Nepal Disaster Fund. After this, if you buy it other time other than today, 50% goes to the Vineyard Disaster Fund and 50% goes to World Vision. You can get that thing set up there, Morris. So this is we wanted to show this video. Just give it a sec. Hold on. Because it's a collaboration, so it's from World Vision perspective, and so they're talking from World Vision perspective, but it's all Vineyard people that are in this. So all the people that you're going to see, most of the Nepali people, not the World Vision people, but the Nepali people that are interviewed, and who have that are kind of showcased, wrong word, but you get the idea, on this video are our people. They're our people. And David's going to come on there. He's going to give a little plug for sponsoring. And so World Vision is deeply involved and has worked together with the Vineyard, just using our relational network that are there and partnering together in some real specific ways. And of course, World Vision is all about the child sponsorship, but looking at it holistically. So not just sponsoring one child, but like helping the whole community that the child is raised in. And so that's kind of the perspective of this video. And you can talk to Chris and Margaret back there after for more information about that. But let's just watch this. And just remember, this is our people.
Hidden between the global superpowers of India and China, and amid the majestic Himalayas, lies Nepal, a small country of over 26 million people. Every year, thousands of adventurers have touched down in Kathmandu to visit its temples, shops, and prepare for the world's most challenging treks. With tourism being Nepal's main source of income, it has always struggled to keep pace economically, and to this day is still listed as a developing nation. After centuries of being ruled by a monarchy, Nepal moved to democracy in 2008 and has just established a new constitution. Nepal finds itself at a crossroads in deciding its future and identity in response to recent political turmoil, religious and tribal conflicts, and above all, the great blow to its economy and everyday life that took place in the spring of 2015.
In Nepal, a 7.8 magnitude quake.
More than 4,400 people are known to have died.
People panicked and ran from their homes into the streets.
It reduced residential areas and centuries-old temples to rubble in Kathmandu.
Rocked by another massive earthquake.
1.4 million people in need of food.
To get out, there's an earthquake. We just ran out, and the ground jerked really hard, so we were sort of thrown to our knees, and we crawled along the middle of the road. I wanted us to get to a crossroads because there are fewer buildings, and I was really worried the buildings were going to come down. And you know, people were being thrown off their motorcycles, just tipped off. And we sat in the crossroads until it was over. And a few things that I noticed were that people were all touching each other, like strangers were holding each other's hands, and it was really, it was noisy and very violent movements of the earth. After it sort of calmed down, we went back to where the team was at the indoor football game and got them, and we found an open space, and we sat there for the next 2.5 hours, and the earth was just, you know, it stopped for a while, and then it would start again. And I think being with my World Vision colleagues and their kids was kind of a bonding experience. But I also saw how helpless we all were. Like, the children were whimpering and crying every time the earth started moving. And as adults, we couldn't protect them.
Well, we're here in Kathmandu. We've come right from the airport. The destruction from the earthquake is evident everywhere. In fact, we've come right here to the World Vision office compound. But our staff are working hard, pulling together an emergency response. They actually can't work inside the building, which has been made unsafe because of the earthquake. Instead, they're clustered under these tents and tarpaulins.
I'm going to go to the house. I can't explain the chaos in the early days. It was, for example, we wanted to rent trucks, but all the drivers had gone back to their villages to check with if their families were okay. So, you know, you could get one thing but not the other. Stocks ran out very quickly. It was impossible to buy tents or tarps within a week or so. So the response, we did what we could, and then we had to sort of depend on supplies coming in. The global response and people's generosity was phenomenal. I always find it really moving when people in countries who are completely unrelated to Nepal give. But what happens usually, and it's happening here, is Nepal disappears off of the media, disappears off of people's screens, and then off of their minds. So what we need is for long-term commitments, for people to say, this is a long process to rebuild a country that was so badly broken.
My name's David Roos. I've been coming into the city of Kathmandu and the whole kind of area around here since 1995. It's been a huge part of my journey of faith, journey of understanding justice and community and all engagement with the poor. It's just been a major thing that's really shaped me over the years. Relationship keeps me coming back as much as projects and various things. I'm part of an international group of faith communities called the Vineyard. The Nepali is Dakbari. So there's a significant community here and several around the area, based right in Kathmandu. So the earthquake hit, man, it was just hit at all kinds of levels. It wasn't just an organizational sort of reality. It was, wow, these are my friends, that sort of a thing. But the cool thing has been, it's really knock down walls between organizations, etc., etc. Of course, I've been engaged with different organizations. I don't work directly for World Vision or any NGO, but out of relationship and just partnership, you know, have built relationships and got some really good friends within World Vision. And the idea came up, wow, why don't we try to partner a little more intentionally and strategically in the wake of the earthquake? Another thing is really thinking through in a whole brand new way what it looks like to be working in the urban environments where disaster strikes. And that's just a massive learning curve and heart stretch just to see the devastation right in the city itself and what it's going to look like and take to really make a difference there has just been quite striking.
An example here of a cracked wall. That's not going to hold very much longer, and they just put these sticks, basically got some spikes at the end, and just trying to hold the thing together. That's another just not even a minor quake will just bring that all right down again. The urban stuff is just crazy.
Hospitality has always been one of the great features of the Nepali culture, and we saw someone today just welcomed us right in from our vineyard community, a woman just in the middle of this devastation, but man, felt like the place could come down at any second.
Hardly standing, but there's nowhere for them to go. They have to live, they have to stay in the building. It's
no other options for them, even though it's very unsafe.
अनि अहिले कस्तो लाग्छ?
अहिले ठिकै लाग्छ। ठिकै अब जोस त्यति डर लाग्दैन अब जोस परमेश्वरले हामीलाई मेन भनेको जोगाउनु भयो अनि केही नाश भएन। अनि अहिले अब दुई आमा छोरी भए पनि हामीलाई त्यस्तो मान्छेहरू भन्छ डर लाग्छ भन्छ डर यस्तो म किन बसेको भन्छ तर मलाई डर लाग्दैन।
So inspiring to land here in the nation of Nepal and see our vineyard communities just rallying and helping each other, to watch them not actually just look out for themselves. In fact, sometimes they didn't think of themselves at all. They were only thinking of the village down the road or a neighbor down the street and how they could reach out and help. It was just really inspiring and powerful community.
त्यहाँको हेरेर त हाम्रो प्रब्लम अझै जोगाउनु भएको रहेछ बरु अब हामीले चाहिँ यताको छोडेर जेसुकै भन्नु भयो अब उतापट्टितिर हेल्प गर्ने भनेर त्यतातिर लाग्यौँ अनि राहत बाँड्नेतिर पनि गयो छम्पीतिर अनि कोडगाउँमा पनि गयो हामी
One of the first places that we visited outside of Kathmandu was a village called Champe. We went there with some of our vineyard pastors just to check on our communities and see how people were doing.
Was there something here before, Ramesh?
Yeah.
So there was a house here, and this is the rubble.
So many heartbreaking stories, and yet in the midst of all, meeting people and seeing them in action, so much hope and inspiration, and just the resilience of the Nepali people.
Parmeshwarle. So help, I'm asking, where do you get your help? So she's telling that the God is providing the help.
We just kept stumbling into already before any planning or anything, just partnership between World Vision and our vineyard communities was really remarkable. I came across one lady, for example, who's a very key part of the Kathmandu Vineyard, who works in the prenatal area of care for World Vision. And just to see her already on the ground and connecting with people, both with the vineyard perspective and the World Vision, it was just an amazing thing to watch. Yeah, I didn't only meet this lady, but her daughter as well. And they took us by where they had been living, and an entire wall had come down. And the daughter actually just even helping us take some footage and walk around the place was terrified to go inside.
बितेको दिनमा त अब भइहाल्यो नि जे भयो अब त्यो त गइहाल्यो अब फेरि त्यतिकै बस्यो भने त अब त्यतिकै नै अब त्यस्तै अवस्था हुन्छ होइन तर त्यो दिनलाई भुलेर अब नयाँ भएर जिउनु पऱ्यो होइन नयाँ भएर अब हामीले के गरेर राम्रो हुन्छ अब त्यो बाटोमा चाहिँ अब हिँड्नु पऱ्यो त्यही हो
Came over to Nepal with a team, which included Ryan McAllister, a great singer, songwriter, producer, musician from the Canadian music scene, and just so enjoying building a friendship with him. But we're actually working on a project together here in Nepal, a CD that'll be connected with this documentary.
No idea where we are, but we're on the outskirts of Kathmandu, and we're way up in the mountains, and we just drove across a road. It's about this wide.
Yeah, we continue to meet many inspiring women all across our whole entire journey there in Nepal. Met one lady in particular, a widow, pretty tragic loss of her husband, which is a story you hear over and over. Raising five kids and just doing everything possible to survive. And of course, the earthquake just made everything so much harder. She's getting support from her oldest son, who moved to Dubai to work there and is sending back all the resources to care for the family. And her second son as well, just working alongside, and who wanted to be a musician but lost and had his guitar destroyed in the earthquake.
If only I had some duct tape and bungee cords. Well, man, that's too bad.
This place was before so beautiful and quite nice, but nowadays, you know, because of the earthquake, it's like a big disaster for all people. So it's more challenges to live here and to get comfortable. And then also There is no any choice to make our likes and dreams. It's hard to live here, and everybody is suffering to live, to get happy also. Before the earthquake, my dreams was to be a musician, but after the earthquake, it's too hard. So my house swallowed down because of the earthquake, and everybody's got a problem, and my family also, they are in a problem. So I need to save them, I need to care of them, and then also rebuild the house. That's why it's too hard. Maybe it's too hard to make my dream.
So we're outside the guitar shop in Kathmandu, and we're gonna get Bishwa a guitar to replace the one that was broken during the earthquake.
Maybe by this moment I'm not going to forget it. So I'm gonna miss this moment all the time. So yeah, this is my best moment in my life. So
C there, G. So G.
So the whole move is from let's get the basic needs met, the immediate needs met, and then let's look longer term. Now the rehabilitation for Nepal, it's huge because the earthquake took out about a third of its economy. So $7 billion estimated in damages. So if you can imagine what that means for a country to lose a third of your economy, it was the first two earthquakes in 2 weeks, right? Huge amount of work to do in the future. I mean, the government thinks it'll be about an 8-year process, but who knows?
भुइँचालो आउनु भन्दा अगाडि हामी त किसानी हो हैन किसानी हो खेतीबाडीबाट अलिअलि खाना आउँथ्यो हुन्थ्यो अब भुइँचालो आउनु भन्दा अगाडि अनि खेतीबाडी गर्थ्यौँ त र उ गर्थ्यौँ अलिअलि खानाले पुगिरहेको थियो अहिले भुइँचालो आएर न काम गर्न पाउनु न के गर्न पाउनु त्यस्तो भइरहेको छ हैन अनि हेर त्यो पानी आउँ के अरे भुकुमा आउने बेलामा हाम्रो तल मूलको धारा थियो के मूलको धारा थियो त्यहाँ पनि पानी सुकेको थियो त्यहाँ पनि पानी सुकेको थियो अब पानी सुक्यो कहाँ खाने जाने होला के गर्ने होला भनेर हामीलाई धेरै समस्या भयो अनि हेर अनि त्यो पछि त्यहाँ नै आयो धारा त्यहाँ नै आयो अनि तपाईँहरूले सहयोग गर्नुभयो ओल्ड भिजनले सहयोग गर्नुभयो अब त यसरी गाउँठाउँमा घर घरमै धारा ल्याइदिनु भयो बच्चाहरू हिँड्न नसकिने अब धारासम्म गएर त एकटक पानी ल्याएर दिशा बस्न सकिन्छ नि बच्चाहरू धेरै धेरै धन्यवाद छ तपाईँहरूलाई भनिदिनु है
Huge thanks to vineyard communities and others, quite frankly, across the world that have responded and seen us as a primary conduit to get money, help, food, resources, help build shelters into this part of the world. Our partnership, an emerging partnership with World Vision. We really trust World Vision, particularly just because of their commitment to community and long-term thinking. For example, their area development programs are what they call ADPs, run for 15 years. And even though they're not like directly rebuilding houses and that kind of thing, they're rebuilding lives. Everything from education to clean water to prenatal care to child safe zones and child protection. Things are just stepping in at every level of life. It's just very holistic and community, and we love it.
World Vision is known for child sponsorship. And what that means is if I sponsor a child, what I'm doing is I'm giving money for that child's community through that child. Now, a lot of people think that sponsorship means I'm connected to this child, that part is true, and I'm giving money just for this child and his or her family. And that part is actually not true. Children are part of a community and they cannot be healthy unless their families are healthy and the communities are healthy. The sponsorship model that World Vision supports is actually about a community. So your child would be helped, but the most of the funds go to helping the larger community.
How about Andy turns my mic on? Come on, it's a new mic. Give me a break. I forgive you, whoever stole the other one. I'm not going to share, really. We're out of time. But we should have communion together and remember this. Is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, all these little bits of bread were taken from one loaf that Jess bakes. It's a symbol. They're one with us. Their trouble is your trouble. Their healing is your healing. The scripture says, pray for those who are in prison like you were in prison. And I would say to you this morning, pray and take communion as if you were in the quake. And because our building is kind of similar to theirs, and in the moment that it happened, and I was standing on stage just like this, reaching for the mic, picture yourself right now in our building. Cracks opening up in the floor, then this wall beginning to tilt several inches, and then it hung on to, there was beams against that wall, it was leaning and hanging on by a few bolts. And under that wall were cowering 100 people for safety. And I was one of the few that knew that that wall was on the verge of collapsing and killing 100 of us. What would you do? We have two doors, they have one. You imagine what you would do right now? You'd be running for there, running for there. People with wheelchairs couldn't get through. People cowering under the wall that was on the edge of collapsing. You are one with those people. Not one of our folks in the vineyard was killed, which is astonishing. But 50,000 people died around us. 50,000 people. I'm still in recovery, and I was there only through 120 shocks. In my phone, I don't want to show you this, but there was a couple holding each other in love before the quake, and just several blocks away from where our building was. I have a picture also, I'm not going to go there. I have a picture of them under the tower, Durara Tower, that collapsed on them. And it was my darkest moment to run to that tower, Durara Tower, where 180 people fell, and to start trying pick off the bricks. They're us. Just because we're safe here right now doesn't mean that they're not us. Who knows what'll happen to us in the future, but us is now. Us is their healing, their suffering. We are them. And so, as the scripture says, is not the bread we break a participation in the whole body of Christ? Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? Because there is one loaf. We who are many are one body, for we all share the one loaf. Would you come now, after I give thanks, and take the bread and acknowledge all across the world our suffering, their suffering is our suffering, And their blessing is our blessing. And let's celebrate the unity of the body of Christ together this morning. After we have communion, Suhail is going to lead whoever can stay just to pray for a little bit for the full recovery of our Nepali sisters and brothers. After you take communion, because our time is done, feel free to go collect your kids and be on your way, but with an awareness, we are all one loaf of bread. Lord, we give ourselves to you and to your body everywhere, not favoring white or Nepali, woman or man, young or old, but knowing that we are all together before you and all our neighbors around us. We give thanks for this cup of thanksgiving. We give thanks for your broken body in the name of Christ. Amen. Come on and let's celebrate together.